have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel. It's a joy to be back at Holly Springs again. Certainly not a hard task to come here, for sure. Appreciate the support this church gives us every month. And all the birthday cards I got from these folks recently, as my wife said, I've been saying for 2 or 3 years now, I'm almost 70. And she made fun at my birthday party. She said, well, you're finally 70. You don't have to say you're almost 70. So the next time I was in the pulpit, I said just to chide her, I said, I'm almost 80. They made a video for me. All my grandchildren, my children spoke on the video. I told her, I said, man, that video's all ready now for my funeral. All you have to do is put Kenny Rogers to it through the years. We're ready to go. All you got to do. But it is a joy to be here this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 15, if you have a Bible with you. There are numerous and sundry ways to study the Bible. And you've had the Bible studied here in all of these ways. You can study a Bible character. That would certainly be a good way to study the Bible. You can study a book. Certainly. Excellent way to study the Bible. You can study a verse. Just take a verse apart. And certainly that's a good one. You can take a subject in the Bible and study it. That's certainly a good way. But I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart these 5 services to look at one phrase in the Bible. It's just got 2 words in it. So it won't be hard for you to learn. You probably can learn it this morning. You'll have it memorized. You'll be ready to go. You say, don't you think we could take more than 2 words? I'm sure you could, but I don't think I'll be able to exhaust these 2 words if I try. The little phrase appears 25 or 30 times in the New Testament. Of course, if he used this phrase once, it'd be important. Twice, paramount importance. 25 or 30 times, I can only figure there's some hard-headed Baptists. Ain't got it yet. Maybe about the 30th time he makes this phrase, hey, 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 I got it. The little phrase I speak of is this man. This man. Almost without exception, every time it is mentioned, they're making a big to-do about Jesus. This man. So I'd like to take that little phrase and preach on this subject these days, making much of this man. He is worth. See, you and I ain't worth talking about. You're not even worth a notable mention. You're not even worth an asterisk. But making a big to-do about him is worth the trip. I give you an example, if you have the Bible there, in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 15, and verse number 37. Jesus cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. When the centurion, this is an old Gentile pagan soldier now. He's looking up at the cross, watching Jesus die. When the centurion was stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly, here it is, mentioned 25 or 30 times in the New Testament. This man was a good man? God forbid. He said, this man was the Son of God. He has waited until he died to make a big to-do about who Jesus is. I don't know about you, I'll not speak. This may be awful deep for you. I don't even know if you can get it or not. I don't want to wait till I die to make a big to-do about who he is. You say, well, I'm going to shout when I get to heaven. Probably not. If you ain't done it here, you probably won't know how to do it. I want to make a big to-do about him here. So with that thought in mind, I want to begin this morning in John's Gospel, looking at the various and sundry times this phrase is mentioned. John chapter number 11. I want to make much this morning of this man's claims. This man's claims. I want to underline it. I want to emphasize it. I want to circle it. I want to boldface it. Highlight it. Just who did he claim to be? If I could put it in just good old North Carolina, Georgia language, who in the world does he think he is? Because if he is who he claimed to be, his demands on you and me are a lot more than we think they are. If he is who he claimed to be, he wants more out of you than you're given. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about his claims. I want to begin in John chapter 11 this morning, and I want to look first of all at the wonder of his claims. The wonder of his claims. John 11, verse 47. This is the religious crowd speaking. Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we for? Here it is. 25 or 30 times I'm going to make a big to-do about him now. They said, for this man doeth many miracles. I was thinking about some of the miracles that he does. I was confronted with the unnoticed miracles that he does. Things that he never gets an acknowledgement for. Things that he never is noticed as having done. He never gets a thank you for them. I was thinking this morning, gravity is an interesting thing. It's what holds us here. Did you know that if the gravical measurement of the world was off 1/10 of a percent, just a 1/10 of a percent, if God let the gravital pull get off just 1/10 of a percent, all of the universe up there would fall this way, and this ball that we're on would fling out into space. If it was just, I don't know about you, I'm glad we're just sort of anchored here, don't you? Gravital pull. I was reading an article not long ago about a lady who was in a state-sponsored school. school science class, and the science teacher was talking about all of this world is being held together by molecules and matter. And she raised her hand, and he acknowledged her. And she said, I like that molecules and matter are holding this together. She said, but who's holding the molecules and matter together? She said in the little article that he cleared his throat and went on to the next subject. I do know that. This man, by him, all things consist. He's holding it all together. It's unnoticed. When is the last time you just had your thank you party that he's holding all of this together? Huh? Because if he stops holding it together, she's going to blow. I like that, don't you? I was thinking about our breathing, our physical life. Did you know if the mixture of the air was off 1 millionth of a centimeter, just a millionth of a take a centimeter, cut it in a million pieces, and take your one. If the mixture of the air was off that much, you and I would be in here this morning going, couldn't breathe. I'm glad it's keeping that mixture just right. And for you that don't get out in the night air, I'm so sorry to report to you, the night air and the day air are the same. The mixture is the same at night that it is in the morning. I did not know if you knew that or not. Hated to take that excuse away from you. Talking about unnoticed miracles. Some years ago, I was preaching in the pulpit, and I got plumb dizzy headed. I'd never done that before. I couldn't make my way hardly back to my seat. Man, things just spin around. I went and took my blood pressure. It was 158, and it was going higher, even on up into the 60s. That was several years ago. And I went to the doctor, and she gave me, you probably can't even see that little pill. She gave me that little pill. And I took that little pill, and I put it in this big thing. And it brought it down for the last 3 years to 120 over 80. You tell me putting that little pill in this big old thing can do that. That is an unnoticed miracle of God that this man has done. And I ought to give him glory. I ought not to sit in a Baptist church and do this. I ought to be up praising God for his unnoticed miracles.
Amen.
Not only do we see the wonders of his claim in unnoticed miracles, but I see his claim in unbelievable miracles. Unbelievable miracles. John said in this gospel, closed out this gospel, and he said, I have written this gospel for one reason. Just one. Just one. He said that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the only reason I wrote this gospel. I got to thinking about that. Because he mentions in this gospel 7 miracles that this man did. 7. He says, I wrote about these miracles that you might believe. Here's the thought. If, and that's a big if, because I can't see your heart. If you have truly believed, you should have experienced all 7 of these miracles. And if you have not experienced all seven of these miracles in some form or fashion, you're going to hell as good as where you're sitting. Are you listening to me? One of those miracles, he raised Lazarus from the dead. If you're saved this morning, it's because God found you dead and in your sin. You had no ability to come to Him. He came to you and breathed eternal life into your soul. Miracle number one. Also in John chapter number 9, He calls a man who was born blind to see. I'm telling you this morning, if you're saved, if you've ever been born again, it's because God found you blind, spiritually blind. You could not see, and He gave you sight. In John chapter number 6, Jesus came walking on the water after He had fed 5,000 people. Telling me, if you're saved this morning, Jesus has the ability to come walking on the top of all of your troubles and supply all of your needs. God has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor His seed begging bread. Take care of His people. Oh, in John chapter number 5, there is the miracle of Him walking on the water, and then the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter number 6. John chapter number 5, the impotent man, He caused him to walk. If God has ever saved you, He says He'll put His Spirit inside of you and cause you to walk with Him. God does not have any red-headed stepchildren He cannot control this morning. We have people make professions down at the Baptist church, pray some little old prayer. They can die out here in a motel laid up with some woman drunk. And we'll talk about that they prayed the sinner's prayer over here at Vacation Bible School when all by intents and purposes bubbles in hell. Because if God ever got inside of Him, He will do the miracle of causing him to walk with God. Are you listening to me? Says, I wrote this that you might believe. Says in John chapter number 4, the nobleman's son believed His word. If you have ever been born again from God, you will believe this book and you'll want to get in this book. If you have no relationship with this book, it's because you have no relationship with Him. I don't care what you pray. I don't care what you've joined. I don't care what you've been done for. Then in John chapter number 2, He turned the water into wine. Please forgive me. I'm crazy. I really don't believe that He just turned those vessels, those pitchers into water, turned them into wine. I don't believe that. Because He told the governor of the house, He told him to draw and take it to the governor, told the servants to draw, take it to the servant. The little word draw there, He dropped it in the well. I believe turned the well into wine. If He's ever saved you, He has put a well inside of you. It's an artesian well. You ain't got to pump in. It'll pump you. And it's bubbling up in joy unspeakable and full of glory. Love what the songwriter said. He said, it took a miracle to put the stars in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. I'm telling you, one of the greatest wonders of miracles is that God would take a dead sinner like me, get inside of me, and bring me to life. Just who in the world does He think He is? Oh, He thinks He's the sovereign Savior of sinners. I say amen. I'm talking about the wonder of His claims. If you have the Bible there, John's Gospel, chapter number 7. Could I mention the word of his claims? The word of his claims. In John's Gospel, chapter number 7, says in verse 14, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." They were having services at the temple. He just walked in off the street. Went up to the pulpit. Started teaching. That's a good way in that day to get. They started whispering to one another while he was teaching. They said in verse number 15, "And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth..." There's our little phrase again. You notice it just keeps popping up at various and sundry times. They said, "How knoweth this man letters?" In the world does he even know the alphabet? They said, "How knoweth this man letters?" He says, "He's had what? He's never even been to school. He didn't even do homeschool at the house. He ain't been to no school." Wow. They sent out to have him arrested. How dare him stand up? Don't even know the alphabet. Ain't even never been to school. Talking. Who does that think he is? Sent out to have him arrested. Watch what happens. I love the hound. Oh, it's crazy. Look at verse 45. "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, don't we sent y'all to arrest him? Where is he?" This is what they said about him. Said the officers answered, "Never a man spake like..." There's that little phrase again. See, we've heard a lot of people speak, but if that guy don't know his alphabet and he ain't never been to school, it don't matter. I wouldn't mind hearing him again. Just who in the world he think he is? I notice in the Bible that he claimed now, if he is who he claimed to be now, he's demanding more out of me and you than we're giving. He demands more out of us than we really think. I noticed that he claimed to be the Word incarnate. You've got the Bible there, John's Gospel. Gracious. John just about started his Gospel like God started the Bible. In the beginning, God said, wow. I was thinking about that little word said in Genesis, this little word here. We get our little word from this little word, phonics. If you're here this morning and you learn how to spell with pictures, I notice that you probably use spell check a lot because you can't spell worth a flip. I is one. If you learn how to read phonetically, you probably don't have to check spell checker too much. You could phonetically sound it out. John said that the first sound that God ever made, was the Word. It says in this text, and this Word sound that God made became flesh, took on a body, come and dwelt among us. But who in the world does he think he is? This sound.
this word became phrases. These phrases became sentences. These sentences became paragraphs. These paragraphs become chapters. These chapters became books. These books became libraries. Jesus is saying, the only language that my Father understands is the language of me. If you're not talking Jesus, He ain't listening. If you're talking you, He ain't paying a bit of attention to you. You're talking Jesus, He's all ears. I love that, don't you? Some of you have been talking you language for a long time. You ain't getting jack. Start talking Jesus language. Start making a big to-do about Him. He loves it. Claims the Word incarnate. But I notice in the text, if you have the Bible there, John's Gospel chapter number 18, He claims to be the Word I am. What? Preacher, you got your stories all messed up. Sure enough, several thousand years before Jesus was here upon the earth, Moses saw a bush on fire. But the bush still remained and the fire kept burning, but the bush never was consumed. And Moses said he heard a voice talking out of inside that bush. And he asked the voice what his name was. And the voice inside the bush said, my name is I Am. Wow. This man, he says, I claim to be that one that spoke out of the bush. He said, I am. I was thinking about the powerful title of I Am. If you've got the Bible there, John 14 and verse 4. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, they come to arrest him. Whom seek you? Who are you looking for? I love what he said. Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, wow. Would you check your Bible out? The little word he. Is the little word he in your Bible in italics? It's not in the same print as the I am. That means it's been added by the translators. It is not what Jesus said. They said, who in the world are you seeking? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. This is a statement he makes to them. I am. Same title. Come out of the bush. I'm talking about how power. I'm talking about if he is who he said he was. He wants more out of us than we think. What happened? Watch the text. As soon, verse 6, as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward. They did a backward flip and fell on their backside just at this title. I am. What a powerful title this is. But I see in our text, not only is it a powerful title, but I notice in John chapter number 8, it is a perceptive title. Perceptive title. John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. The Bible tells us not only is it a powerful, in verse number 56, the Bible says here, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was Jesus.
don't know, maybe you've been here on the earth too long, and maybe the air's got to you, come from way up in heaven, and maybe come to this earth, and the air hadn't been circulating right. This thing of getting yourself and Abraham confused, because Abraham was thousands of years before you, and he's telling this religious crowd, he said, "Oh, Abraham, rejoice to see my day." They said, "You're crazy." Watch what they said to him. They said to him, then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto thee, before Abraham was, I am." Hey, it's a mind boggle, a Muslim. It's a mind boggle, an Arab. It's a mind boggle, a Jehovah's Witness. It's a mind boggle, a Mormon. Just who in the world does he think he is? He thinks he's God. And he's done convinced me. Well, I tell you, preacher, I'm not so sure about all that. Sure not. Oh, I meet a lot of people. I live in a college town. A lot of college students. I think Jesus was a great prophet, great teacher. Probably died on the cross to save people from their sin. But that God thing, I don't know about that. I am incarnate. Not only is it a powerful title, not only is it a perceptive title, but I notice in John chapter number 8, verse 24, is a perceptive title. He said to this religious crowd, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am," you notice he is in italics. He said, if you don't believe that me and God are one and the same person, he said that I am the incarnate God. I am the great I am. He said, you'll die in your sins. That means that all Muslims, all Hindus, all Buddhists, all of those that do not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty shall die in their sins. No worse he think he is. Thank you, God. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in yours. Has he ever convinced you that he's God? So that means if you're saved this morning, truly been saved, you've got God Almighty living inside of you. You've got God Almighty living inside of you. He'll stop you from sucking your thumb. He stopped you from whining. He demands a lot more out of you than you think. He wants more out of you than you give him. If he is who he said he was, I'm talking about the wonder, the word of his claims. Could I close with this little thought? The way of his claims. The way of his claims. If you have the Bible there, John's Gospel, chapter number 5. Could I mention the humility of his way? I don't know about you, I'm not testify for you to, but if I was the great I am, I flung the stars in space, I spoke man into existence. Everything that you see that way, and that way, I did it. I am. Ain't no way I'm humbling myself. No way. You gonna get down before me. I ain't getting down to you. That's cause you ain't him. I'm talking about the humility of his way. If he humbled himself and got down low, I wonder how low he wants me and you to get. There's some of you sitting right here. I could ask the preacher. He's only been pastoring here for a short while, but I guarantee he could point out to me the ones he ain't never seen you at no altar.
Yes, sir.
I ain't getting down there. Somebody will think I did something wrong. You listen to me. Watch the text in John chapter 5 and verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son..." He said he can't do nothing. Wow, there's some of you sitting here this morning, you can do everything. He said he couldn't do nothing. He says of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. What is he doing? He's humbling himself. He says in verse number 30, "I can of my own self do nothing." He says, "I seek not my own will." He did not come here to self-promote himself. If you find people and preachers that are promoting themselves, get away from them. He's not a self-promoter. He said, "I didn't come here to promote my free will." He said, "I come give mine up." Matter of fact, if you're a free will or promoter, let me give you mine. Then you have two. Mine never took me to God to always take me away from God. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the great I Am. He's humbled himself. If he got down low, oh, he must demand that we even get lower. I was wondering this morning, has he ever staked a claim in you? Has he ever raised the flag of his blood-drenched banner in your soul? And the staking and putting of that flag in your soul has caused you to realize without a doubt that you're nothing. And you want to get down low before him. Huh? I'm talking about the humility of his way. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. What the world's he think he is telling me what? Does he think he is telling me I got to be here tonight? I don't know about you. I'll not speak for you. If he is who he said he was, the incarnate God, I would rather come over here tonight and see him than for him to have to come to your house to see you. Because if he comes to your house to see you, because you have not come to his house to see him, it will not be to applaud you on the good stay-at-home act. Oh no. I believe with all of my heart there are some people who are sick today who do not need a doctor. They need an altar.
That's all right. Why yes?
Are you listening to me this morning? Talking about the humility. But I see in John 14 verse number 6, I notice the highway of his way. See, it's his way, the highway. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's got the corner on the market. It's his way or the highway. Where does that other highway lead? Hell. He says in John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am," there's that little phrase again, "the way." Putting "the" in front of "way" indicates he's the only way. Well, I tell you, preacher, I believe that all the religions have got some ideas, and maybe we could put them all together. All the politicians got some ideas, maybe we could put them all together. He says, "I am the only way." If that's true, he's the only way. There's some of you sitting here this morning, you're going to hell if you die today. Because you've never come that way. Oh, you old preacher, I'm a good person.
I treat my fellow man right. Matter of fact, preacher, hey, just a couple of days ago, I turned over a new leaf. Won't get you to heaven. He said, I'm the only way to get there. He says, not only am I the way, watch the text. He says in our text, he says, I am the truth. You know what the biggest problem my son has in the Navy as a Navy chaplain? Talking to kids, young people, many of them already into homosexuality, many of them already into lesbianism. Their first thought when he brings up this is this. We don't believe there's no absolute truth. See, once you don't believe this is absolute, this is the only truth there is, there's no need of me and you talking anymore. It's the end of the conversation. He says, I'm the only truth. There's no other truth but me. He says, I am the life. If you want to live forever, you got to come my way. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is my house. My way is how. Hey, I don't know if this will help you or not, but did you know you ain't got to go to heaven if you don't want to go? You ain't got to go to heaven if you don't want to go. You ain't got to go to hell if you don't want to go. But you ain't staying here. Everybody in this building, from the front to the back, I'm going to give you some good news, because if the doctor tells you this in a few weeks, you can laugh at him and say, oh, brother, my preacher told us that the other week. I already know that. Everybody in the building's terminal. All of you are dying. Are you listening to me? You ain't got to go to heaven. You ain't got to go to hell, but you ain't staying here. Well, how can I get to heaven? He said, I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I am the only life. Oh, let us make much of this man's wonders, what he did. Let's make much of what this man's words, what he said. Let's make much of this man's way, where he's leading. I was thinking in closing this morning, times in history when God has taken this word and radically changed a life, because it's so powerful. I was thinking about Arthur Pink. Arthur Pink graduated from college, and he had been nominated to be the next president of the National Atheistic Society. Arthur Pink was a well-known, very prolific atheist. He had come back to his father's house. Going to be a big convention of atheists there in his town. And on Friday night, he was going to accept the presidency of the National Atheistic Society. Arthur Pink said that he was coming down the steps to get him some water, and his daddy passed him on the steps as he was coming down. And as they passed on the steps, his daddy whispered these words to him. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Arthur Pink says he never went and got his drink of water. He said he got under such deep conviction. He stayed in his bedroom from Tuesday night until Friday night, just before the atheistic convention was to start. Never come out of the bedroom. And he said that night he went to the National Atheistic Society, and he says, I preached my first sermon. And he said, I took my text from Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is a powerful book. How come? It is this man in written form. I was thinking about Amy Carmichael. Amy Carmichael was a great missionary for a number of years. Amy Carmichael said she was gloriously saved one day listening to a group of little kids sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Says it so opened her heart to the gospel. Oh, I was thinking about Jonathan Edwards, man who preached the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening in America. He says one day he read 1 Timothy 1:17. "Now unto the King eternal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He says, "There came such a glory in my soul that diffused throughout with all a sense of overwhelming glory." He said, "It expelled all the darkness." And he says, "I was immediately, radically changed." Amen. Talking about the power of this man. Thinking about Martin Luther, great reformer, fighting with the devil one day, throwed an inkwell at the devil. He said the devil was so strong in the room. Went and got him another inkwell, stuck his pen in the ink, wrote these words: "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." Oh, this man. Who in the world does he think he is? He thinks he's the incarnate word this morning. He believes he's the only way for you to get to heaven this morning. It's his way or the highway. I was thinking about old C.S. Lewis again this morning. C.S. Lewis, the great writer. Oh, he wrote so many books. C.S. Lewis was a professor of English at Oxford. He was leaning between agnosticism and atheism. He said, "When God saved his soul," he says, "the day God saved me," he says, "I met him as the master angler." What? C.S. Lewis said, "I met him as the master angler." C.S. Lewis made this statement. He said, "I remember when he set the hook." I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, has there ever been a time when he set his hook in you? C.S. Lewis said, "The only thing I heard after that was..." C.S. Lewis said, "The day I got saved, I met him as the master chess player." What? Master chess player. C.S. Lewis said, "God slipped up to him and said, 'Lewis, checkmate. You have no more moves. It's my way or the highway.'" Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning if God was to checkmate somebody in this building this morning? No more moves. It's his way or the highway. 50 years ago, sitting on the back of a Baptist church, I remember it like yesterday. I remember that hook was set. Oh, they took me in the back. They took me down the Romans Road, the German Road, and the French Road. I ain't never prayed a sinner's prayer. I'm sorry. The front of my shirt was sopping wet from crying. I couldn't quit crying long enough to pray it. So after about an hour, they prayed it themselves, and I got to go. But I learned later, when I stood up back there and hollered out, "I'm going to hell if I don't get saved this morning." Checkmate. It's over with. Your moves are done. The world does he think he is? Thinks he's got the corner on the market. Nobody can go to heaven unless he says so.
the monarch in England at this present time is the longest running monarch of any reigning king or queen. She has been queen longer than any in all of their history. I was reading some articles the other day about the demands of this old lady. She's a very demanding person. You cannot say mama or daddy in her presence. You must say mommy and daddy. She don't like it. She'll call you handle. You cannot say toilet or bathroom in her presence. You must say the loo or the laboratory. You cannot wear shorts or pants in her presence. If you don't have a dress on, don't come in her presence. Matter of fact, the little red-headed boy that just married the girl from America, they have already crossed. She's already told her, don't come into my presence wearing pants. Got a lot of demands. You cannot wear casual clothes in public. You cannot wear anything but clear nail polish. She does not like colors. You cannot show any skin from the knee up. Too much leg, she said. When she finishes eating at a big banquet, if she sets her pocketbook on the table, you done eating too. She don't like selfies. Don't ask her to take one. You cannot cross your legs in her presence. You can cross your ankles. Do not cross your legs. She'll call your hand on it. Several years ago, when she first became queen, her sister wanted to marry a divorced man. You do remember now, she controls the Church of England. She is the boss of that church. She calls all the shots at the church. She told her, you cannot marry a divorced man. This was the question the girl asked her. She said, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. She told her, she said, because I've got the crown. Just exactly what gives him the right to tell me what to do and what not to do? You look for him when he comes. He's got it on his head. I love the hound out of that, don't you? He's got the crown. He ain't giving it up. He's running the show, and he's going to run your show regardless, because he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Who in the world does he think he is? Thinks he's God. And by the way, I did not know if you heard me or not. He's got the crown. Would you stand with us this morning? Preacher's coming. He's going to close the service as he sees fit this morning. While Brother Doyle plays a moment or two, do you know this man? When a people seek this man, and when this man seeks a people, things always happen. Oh my, I wonder today, again, do you know this man? I ask you if you knew the Bible. I ask you if you knew facts. Knew things about the church. No, do you know this man? Oh my.
Oh my. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Dolgins are playing. This altar's open. This man has been proclaimed. This man is here. He's a squeezing on hearts right now in these moments. I don't know of a better day to come to know this man. I don't know of a better service to find a place in an altar. To get acquainted, to get reacquainted with this man. Oh my. Oh my. God's word's been proclaimed this morning. What you going to do with it? In fact, the question is, what you going to do with this man? It's not what you're going to do with this service. It's not what you're going to do with this preacher. It's not what you're going to do with this. The question is, what are you going to do with this man? Because when you respond right to this man, all that other stuff just falls into place. Takes care of itself. Father, I thank you for the truthfulness of your word. The faithfulness of your servant. Not to point to himself. Not to point to us. But to point to you. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. I pray we would behold you in these days. God, I pray we would seek you. Seek you in these days. Because, Lord, it doesn't matter if every seat is filled. We don't seek you, we'll miss it. Lord, it doesn't matter, Lord, what kind of singing or whatever else we do. Lord, unless you are seen, unless you are heard. Oh, God, may we pant, may we seek after you in these days. Because, Lord, you're the man that desires to be caught. You're the man that desires, God, that your people draw near. God, I pray for the service tonight. You'll take it and build upon it, oh God. That we'll get a clearer glimpse and a better glimpse of you, this man. See your truth in our heart and in our soul for your honor and for your glory. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. Don't forget service tonight. Don't forget youth choir practice, children's choir practice. Shake hands you go. Go a praying. Come back looking to hear this man. This man. This man.